Okay, thank you all very much for coming along. It's a well-attended session. Today's speaker is Edmund Griffiths, who's come to us from the Oxford Communist Corresponding Society, and he is the author of Towards a Science of Belief Systems. And he's going to speak for about half an hour on the subject of what conspiracy theories aren't telling you, and then we're going to open it up to the floor until everyone gets bored. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Chair, and I should start by thanking the Socialist Party for inviting me to speak. That's thanks on my own behalf and also on behalf of the Oxford Communist Corresponding Society, of which I'm a member. And I hope you don't feel that I'm repaying your kindness by getting you along here on false pretenses if I tell you that in a way the talk isn't going to be about conspiracy theories at all. That's just what they want you to think. And the reason why it's not exactly going to be about conspiracy theories is that one of the things that I hope to argue is that that's not actually a very helpful term. But the reason why I included it in the title was because, although it's an unhelpful term, I don't think it's a completely empty term. It points in the direction of something, even though it's not a good way of talking about it. So I thought you would know what I had in mind, and you would come along. Now, you would know what I had in mind because, even though the term conspiracy theory is often used as a term of abuse, meaning it's an idea that I don't share, it's not applicable to any and every idea that I don't share. If I say Church of England, or that's just a conspiracy theory, you would probably think I was using the term wrong. You wouldn't just understand, oh, he's not an Anglican, he doesn't agree with Anglicanism. You would either think I was going to give you some dazzling, innovative, new explanation of the Church of England, or you'd think I was using the term conspiracy theory incorrectly. But, so although it does point in the direction of something, it's unhelpful because what it points in the direction of doesn't have a great deal to do with conspiracies. A conspiracy, I suppose, can be defined, if one looks in a dictionary, as more than one person planning together to do something illegal or immoral. Now, we might have political and philosophical question marks about the idea of legality or morality, but still, it's obvious that including an idea of a conspiracy defined like that is neither a necessary nor a sufficient condition for something to be identified as a conspiracy theory. It's not a sufficient condition because if you take the 9/11 attacks, well, any explanation of the 9/11 attacks in the United States involves the idea that somebody conspired with somebody in order to carry them out. Whether you think that it was George W. Bush and the authorities of the United States, or whether you think that it was Mohammed Atta and others with or without the direct participation of Osama bin Laden. In either case, it would be a conspiracy. But one of those we feel can be described as a conspiracy theory, the other one evidently can't. I should say, in the interests of full disclosure, that although I'm not today going to be arguing whether particular conspiracy theories, to use that term, are right or wrong, I myself believe that the 9/11 attacks were organised by Mohammed Atta and others. I believe that the NASA Apollo program did reach the moon. With regret, I believe that no alien space vehicle crash-landed at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. And I'm prepared, if necessary, to defend those views as being at least reasonable, but my main purpose today is not to argue for them. But so the example of 9/11, I think, shows that having a conspiracy in it does not make an idea what we think of as a conspiracy theory. And there can be a conspiracy theory that doesn't very obviously involve people conspiring together to do something illegal or immoral, at least not obviously. And the example of Roswell, I think, illustrates that. what's the allegation that a flying saucer landed, that the debris was recovered, and autopsies carried out on dead alien pilots and so on? Well, I don't think there is anything, and I'm not an expert on United States law, but I don't think there is anything either illegal or immoral in salvaging the wreckage of a crashed aircraft and, if appropriate, having properly trained medical personnel carry out autopsies on the remains of the pilots and crew. On the whole, I would say that's praiseworthy behaviour. It only becomes a conspiracy theory because the idea is that it was then covered up, that it was lied about. And that's also the difference between the two accounts that I put forward of 9/11. Not that one of them contains a conspiracy and the other doesn't, but that one contains a cover-up and the other doesn't. One of them says that some people conspired together to do something, blah, 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 and then people in authority lied about it and hid it and put forward another explanation. The other one doesn't include that. So I suggest that the identifying characteristic that allows us to say that thing is a... it is what we think of as a conspiracy theory and that other thing is not, really has nothing to do with whether it's got a conspiracy in it or not. It's whether it's got a cover-up in it. And so for the purposes of this talk, I'll refer to them as cover-up theories from now on rather than conspiracy theories, because I think that points more at what distinguishes them. And it's more reasonable then to argue as a certain idea a cover-up theory and not get distracted by saying, does it have a conspiracy in it? Which, as we've seen, is not the essential point. Now, the fact that in these ideas what's central is a cover-up has consequences. Firstly, it means that whoever you identify as doing the cover-up has to be identified as very powerful so they can manipulate everything, so they can stop. You know, if you take the example of the moon landings. Well, if the moon landings had been faked, and again, this is an example, that failing to send a spacecraft to the moon is something that all governments do most of the time, and most governments do all of the time. It only becomes interesting because there's meant to be a cover-up about it in this particular case. But if there was a cover-up in that, not only would it have had to cover up thousands or tens of thousands of people who'd have been involved in some way in staging it and so on, but it would also then had to involve other great powers of the time, the Soviet Union, the great rival power of the time, also had a space program, and on the face of it would have been like to say, no, you can see the way the flag moves in the photograph, that clearly isn't. The Kremlin would have had every motivation to say it had been faked, and no clear motivation. So the people responsible for the cover-up get more and more all-powerful. They don't just control the United States. Look, they control... they evidently control the Soviet Union as well. And they control anybody else who might be in a position to shatter the cover-up. It also, I think, has consequences because it suggests that they, whoever they are going to enormous effort in order to keep these things secret. Associate of mine in the Oxford Communist Corresponding Society, I think one or two people here have met him, Zed, has a nice line when he talks to people who are advocating 9/11 truth, the idea that 9/11 was an inside job, which is that he just says, well, it may very well have been, but if so, they got away with it, so you're only coming across as a nutter. But the point, I think, really there is that believing that things are hidden and covered up so extensively with such an enormous effort being put into it implies that something would happen if those things were made known. And actually, I don't think there's any evidence for that, because there are lots of things that the capitalist system and the ruling class do quite publicly, without making any attempt to cover them up. You know, a lot more people have been killed by overt and admitted US military action than were killed in the 9/11 attacks. And so I think there's a question about why these particular things would be covered up so extensively. And I think what that indicates to us is that these cover-up theories, as I'm calling them, embody an idea that truth and power and secrecy are all bound up together, and that truths are powerful because they are secret. Powerful people are powerful because they know secret truths. If those truths could be brought out into the open, they would lose their power by ceasing to be secret. And all of those propositions I would tend to deny. I remember hearing Julian Assange once say, if lies can start a war, then the truth can end one. It's very probably true, but lies can't. It's not this sort of nexus of secrecy that creates political decisions. It's class interests and political interests and so on that are essentially there in the open and are part of the public world rather than part of any supposed secret world behind the scenes where the real decisions are taken by the Illuminati or the Bilderberg Group or whatever. And this sort of idea is one that has very deep-seated antecedents in religious thought. And the example that I would point out to you is the example of Gnosticism, a family of early Christian movements in, roughly speaking, the 2nd to the 4th centuries, which to a great extent read the Bible, to the extent that the Bible had come into existence as an organised whole at that date, much the way today's cover-up theorists read the news. In other words, they think the God who's presented in the Bible isn't the real God. That's a kind of fake God who's pretending. And everything that you read in the Bible is cover stories and cover-ups. So the first... you will remember the early passages of Genesis, maybe, where Adam and Eve eat the apple and are expelled from paradise, having been tempted by a snake, and so on. In the Gnostic reading, that paradise is a kind of trap that the false god had tricked them into, and the snake is a secret messenger from the real god smuggled in disguise to tell them, no, eat this tree of knowledge. Ah, knowledge. See, why would the real god want to keep knowledge from them? And lots of little problems in the story, or lots of little oddities in the story as it's told, then lend credibility to the Gnostic alternative narrative. If you've read Bakunin's God and the State, there's a little extract in that where he somewhat makes fun of the same passages from Genesis and uses very much the same oddities in the story that the Gnostic writers pick up on. But of course he's doing it not in order to... And I don't say this out of any particular commitment for or against Bakunin, but just as an illustrative example. But he's doing it in order to present the idea of God as implausible or contradictory. The Gnostics are doing it in order to say, well, that's not the real God. You need to believe in our other God
who's secret. The reason why I bring in this historical parallel is that I think it shows us something of the role of cover-up theories within ideology. That one can quite clearly see, looking at those Gnostic reinterpretations of the Bible or whatever, that those were people who already had their doubts that a sort of naively theistic worldview was tenable, that God's in his heaven and everything in the Bible is true. But they still hang on to the centerpiece of it. They can't ditch the idea of a benevolent God altogether. They have to sort of reinterpret and say, well, things are in secret and so on. It's not that God. The God that you've been told about is a fake God, and so on. And I would suggest that cover-up theories also, to a certain extent, embody a failure to break decisively with the idea that the world is benevolently run, that governments are or should be acting in the interests of the majority of their population. And when it becomes untenable to think that, instead of thinking, well, just that's not what's going on, you invent these sort of complicated manoeuvrings in secret to explain how an apparently benign organisation like the CIA can permit such wickedness to take place. If you don't think the CIA is overtly benign, you're maybe less interested in any of these ideas at all. And so I would tend to say that as Marxists, our response to the proliferation of these ideas should be to see it in a very qualified sense as perhaps a positive sign, a sign of spreading disillusionment and so on, but also a distraction or a form of disillusion that contains itself into unproductive activities and unproductive speculation. Because it's focused around an idea that power is associated with truth, it's constantly concerned with exposing the secret truth, bringing out into the open the things that they don't want you to find out. With the assumption that because, as I've suggested, underlying it somewhere is the idea that really the system is fundamentally benevolent, if everything were up front, that if the secret could be brought out, then the evil would dissolve of its own accord. I think most cover-up theorists enormously overestimate the likely repercussions if one of their cover-ups were exposed. And let's take the example of 9/11 truth. And imagine that tomorrow definitive evidence was made public that the 9/11 attacks were planned and carried out by George W. Bush, and that they'd been arranged at meetings of the Illuminati and carried out by operatives of the US military disguised as Islamic fundamentalists and so on. I don't incidentally think there's any great likelihood that this will be exposed, but for the sake of argument, imagine that that did come out. What would the repercussions be? Well, for the personal future of George W. Bush and the other people involved, significant. I don't know whether the United States has the death penalty for federal offences, which I imagine it would be, but at the very least a long prison term would be in store for him, presumably. And there would be a certain shake-up. It might bring about some ripples in terms of US party politics. If it could be shown that leaders in other countries had known about it, it might create minor ripples there. if it could be shown that they hadn't, then maybe some directors of British and other countries' security agencies would have had to explain how they hadn't seen through it when all kinds of people standing on street corners with leaflets had, and so on. So, yes, in those ways there would be repercussions. Would, at the end, either the capitalist system or the United States as a state or any other fundamental feature of the world order be any different? I think the answer is obvious that it would not. The system would weather the exposure of particular crimes by people in high places, as it perfectly easily weathered Nixon and Watergate, as the British establishment perfectly easily weathered Suez. These things may create a kind of moral satisfaction that, look, aha, wrongdoers have been brought to book. But they do not, in fact, shake the foundations of the social system. So even in, as I would suggest, the unlikely event that 9/11 truth are onto something, they are still, I would suggest, wasting their time if what they hope to do is to bring about fundamental social change. Because even if their whole program went through, and it did come to be acknowledged and believed that 9/11 had been an inside job, fundamental social change would not result. And if that's true of 9/11, then I think it's much more straightforwardly true of Roswell or of the moon landings or of whatever other cover-ups people might hope to expose. So I'm slightly conscious of the time, so I will just draw a couple of points that I want to emphasize. Firstly, we should be reluctant to use the term conspiracy theory, although sometimes we can use it knowingly in order to attract an audience when writing something else on the literature would have been less comprehensible. But we should be reluctant to use the term conspiracy theory because it misleads people as to what is really going on in these ideas. And I've suggested that we could call them cover-up theories instead, or if we're feeling erudite and comparative religional, we could call them esotericism. So that's one point. They centre on the idea of a cover-up, not the idea of a conspiracy, and that involves thinking that involves certain ideas about associations between truth and power and secrecy and so on that I don't think we would want to share. Incidentally, any one of these ideas may turn out to be factually accurate, and there are lots of them, so some of them probably are. That's not really the point. The point that I've been making is the logical structure that leads people to adopt it. And I've suggested that that involves a sense that all is not right with the world, combined with some naive attachment to the idea that it should be, that governments are meant to be on our side. And therefore, it's a sort of oppositional outlook, but one that doesn't lead in a very productive direction. And finally, just to avoid possible confusion, I will say that there is another category of ideas that one sometimes comes across that can also be described as conspiracy theories, and maybe should more properly be described as conspiracy theories, and those are not what I've been talking about. Those are ideas entertained by the people in power if they think that any crime or dissent or disorder is the result of secret machinations by a Moriarty or Fu Manchu or a spider at the centre of the web of crime. And perhaps a classic example of that would be the Soviet Union in the Stalinist period, where notoriously nothing could just go wrong. It had to be deliberate sabotage by organised saboteurs. That sort of conspiracy theory is pretty straightforward. It just wants to say things are so good, there wouldn't be any accidents, there wouldn't be any crime, there wouldn't be any disorder if it were not for our evil enemies who do it out of malice. That's quite straightforward, and that's not... I think that's not as interesting and probably not as widespread and not as important to have an understanding of as the sort of cover-up theories that I've been talking about primarily this afternoon, but I just thought I would, although it's maybe bad tactics to finish by talking about what I haven't been talking about, but it's even worse tactics to finish on talking about that, so before I dig myself any deeper in, I'd better stop.